Okay, today is Sunday, Rosh Chodesh Adar. This is the opening of Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, Daf Yomi.
Okay, Rabotai, I want to thank everybody for coming a couple of minutes earlier. I want to present the opening of Masechet Sanhedrin sharing with you a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban as to whether or not the mitzvah of establishing a Sanhedrin is limited to Eretz Yisrael or not. You read the pasuk in the beginning of Parsha Shoftim, which serves as the basis of the Masechta. Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha b'chol she'orecha asher Hashem anokecha noseim lecha l'shvatecha v'shoftu l'sal mishpatzeh. So there is no doubt that the intention of the pasuk is talking about Eretz Yisrael. B'chol she'orecha asher Hashem anokecha noseim lecha l'shvatecha. However, the phrase is used b'chol she'orecha. So according to the Gemara in Makos and Daf Zayin Amid Beis, the B'chol she'orecha is to teach you that there might be a mitzvah of appointing Sanhedrin as well in Chutz La'aretz. But there remains a fundamental difference between Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, you have to appoint Dayanin B'chol Ir V'Ir and U'B'chol Plach U'Plach. District courts, local courts, whereas in Chutz La'aretz, according to the Ramban, it's only B'chol Plach U'Plach, according to the Rambam, only B'chol Ir V'Ir. But there is a fundamental difference. In Chutz La'aretz, the reason as to why you establish a Batei Din in Chutz La'aretz is not because you're fulfilling the mitzvah of appointing Sanhedrin. It's just to maintain law and order. We know that you cannot have a society without law and order, so therefore you have to appoint Dayanin in Chutz La'aretz as well. However, the mitzvah of appointing and establishing a Sanhedrin is only in Eretz Yisrael, and the reason why it's limited to Eretz Yisrael, because the appointing of Sanhedrin in Eretz Yisrael fills a double role. Not only does it help administer justice and to enable society to proceed smoothly, but also it participates in the sanctification of Eretz Yisrael. If you will look at Sefer Dvarim, you'll remember that Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm going to remind you about certain events that have taken place. Right? Hashem Elokeinu Diber Eleinu B'Chorev Lehem Rav Lachem Sheves Bahar Hazeh. So what is the first episode that Moshe Rabbeinu in Sefer Dvarim decides to give Musar to Bnei Yisrael? The Chet HaMeraglim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us, let's leave Har Sinai, let's go to Eretz Yisrael, Bo'ur Shu'as Aretz. And what happened? Chet HaMeraglim, and we had to walk around the Midbar for 40 years. If you were a teacher today, and your son wrote Sefer Dvarim, from the beginning of the parsha until he gets through with it, you say he has ADD or something. Why? Because in the middle of the unit of explaining, Moshe Rabbeinu starts talking about the establishment of Sanhedrin. If you remember by Sheni, Echo Esel Levadi, Torchachem U'Masarachem V'Rivchem, and what did I do? I appointed Sarei Alafim, Sarei Meos, and then he goes back to the story itself, about the Meraglim, Vatik Ravna Kulchem, you came to me and said you want to Nishlecha Hashem Lefaneinu. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu interrupt the story of the Meraglim with a reminder about his appointing of Sanhedrin? So the answer is because when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, one of the fundamental reasons for establishing a state is to administer justice. So Kiddush, the establishment of a Sanhedrin in Eretz Yisrael participates in Kiddush HaSa'aretz as well. That's why it's a mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz La'aretz, it's only for one reason, to administer, make sure that there is law and order. So although we do go ahead and appoint a court, we have batei din in Chutz Laaretz, but it's not the elaborate structure that one finds in Eretz Yisrael with the different types of Saren of Ayin Aleph and Chaf Gimel and Bezdin of Shloisha. It's just batei din of Shloisha to resolve dinei mamonos, again to maintain law and order. In Eretz Yisrael, it participates to a much higher degree in terms of serving as the core, the essence of Kedushas Yisrael. And that's why in Yeshayahu, first parak, which we read, Shabbos Kazayin, Yeshayahu bemoans the absence of tzedek and mishpat in Eretz Yisrael. That's what he's bemoaning. He's not bemoaning that there was Chil Shabbos. He's not bemoaning that they may have been eating tarfas. He's bemoaning that you went, Muleyase Tzedek, I wanted, attempted to have, the Atom Ratzchim. Now it's just a bunch of thugs, going around. So, in terms of the structure of the mitzvah, it's technically limited to Eretz Yisrael. Point number two, there was no such thing as an appeals court in Jewish law. When you have courts here, you have a regular court, and then an appellate division, a Supreme Court, which is the highest, court of appeals. There is no such thing as appeal in Jewish law. Every type of case, as we'll see in this Mishnah, is assigned to a particular judicial level bezdin, and once the decision is issued, it's final. Yes, it is possible that bezdin made mistakes, and the Gemara and Daf Hey will talk about ta'ah, what happens if a bezdin makes a mistake, but somebody has to point out the mistake to them, but it's not another bezdin necessarily, so there's no appeals court, and here there are various levels of bezdin. Whenever we are going to be talking about bezdin here, it means somebody who's received smicha. And Rashi's going to make the first point to show the difference in some cases that do and some do not. But most of the time, 99% of the time, the discussion here is not only for the number, but the number that is indicated is that the person is a samach, who received smicha from somebody from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the first masmich. He gave Yoshua smicha, the samach yad chalav. And in order to participate in certain, in 90% of the cases that are listed, you have to be a samach. And that came about an end at the time of the Roman domination of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, he's one of the Asara Ruli Yamalchus, the last one to give smicha. The Gemara tells us he went up on a narrow cliff. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Tarfon on the other side, he turned around. He gave them smicha, and they shot arrows, and they killed them, and there's been no smicha thereafter. So you'll say, how in the world are we going to reinstitute the Sanhedrin again today? You should be aware of that famous Rambam. It's the most famous Rambam in Perek Dalet of Hilchos Sanhedrin. Says the Rambam, Yeira Eli, it appears to me, thank you, that we can reestablish the Sanhedrin, Bizman Hazeh. How? If all of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael will agree that one person is the samach, he now has a stature of a samach, and he can grant smicha to 70 others, and you can create another Sanhedrin. That's what the Rambam writes. Yeira Eli. There is no source for Talmud Bavli. You know, whenever the Rambam uses Yeira Eli, it's his own opinion. And that's what the Rambam says. There were times when people tried to institute this. The most the one that was nearly successful was in the late 16th century, when there was an attempt to establish and appoint Rav Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, as the samach. And he was recognized as the greatest Talmud Chacham of his generation, a great Mekubal as well, the Beis Yosef, right? What a commentary on the Rambam. And he wrote that, you know, so much. However, at the last minute, Rabbanei Yerushalayim objected because he hailed from Tzfat. And they didn't want to believe that somebody from Yerushalayim would not be the Rav HaRashi, the Samach. And therefore they canned it. It was a tried again in the 18th century, and tried recently in 1950, Rav Maimon tried to gather Rabbanim together, and the Brisker Rav foiled it. He didn't want to cooperate, and that was the end of that. But that's what happens. So let's see the Mishnah itself. It's a parrot where all of the Mishnayis are on Daf Hei Amud Aleph. The first Amud and a half is just a Mishnah. instead of having Mishnayos, there are a handful of Prakim that are that way. It's hard to understand why some yes and why some no. Dinei Mamonos B'Shloisha. Gzelos V'Chavolos B'Shloisha. So the Gemara will ask the question, what do you need? The double expression. Gzelos V'Chavolos are Dinei Mamonos. So the Gemara will explain what it is. Dinei Mamonos B'Shloisha. Category Dinei Mamonos, and now the Mishnah will list certain illustrations. Gzelos V'Chavolos B'Shloisha. What is Gzelos? Take a look at Rashi on the top. Gzelos. Koifer V'Pikadon. What it means is as follows. I ask you to watch this tape recorder for me. Okay? I come back from my vacation. I say, can I please have my tape recorder?
You do this. What are you talking about?
So the halacha is, if you are kofer, you deny that you have a pikadon, mishisholach po yad, have a goslin. When you use it, when you keep it for yourself, and you've taken it and decided to keep it for yourself, you become a goslin. V'chein, hachotet miyad chaveroi, have a goslin. When you steal something from your friend, you are a goslin. Kimo, vayigzot esachanis miyad amitzri. Avol, lova, velo shilem, lo mikre goslin. Gemilva lahotza nitna. But, if I lend you $1,000, and you need, I don't have a shtar, I don't have any aidim, I just lent you the money, I come to you for the payment, you deny the whole thing. You are not lo heve goslin. You're not called a goslin, says Rashi. Demilva lahotza nitna. And that type of case can be adjudicated. You don't need three smuchen. That's the point of Rashi. You don't need three smuchen. Gzelos requires smuchen. But something that is not gzelos, that type of a monetary case, does not require smuchen. So now Rashi's talking a lot here, trying to get our attention as to what heis a gazlan. What type of a case of a gazlan requires smuchen and one does not. So I'll give you the principle which Rashi is articulating. The role of Beis Din is in effect to prosecute and in effect cause you to pay. To cause you to pay. So if you go ahead and receive this tape recorder and now you deny it, right? I ask you to watch it. Under those circumstances, the denial itself is considered an act of gzela, and now you're going to be paid. That's what Rashi says. However, if I lend you money, I don't need Beis Din to trigger the chiyuv to pay me. Why don't I need Beis Din to trigger to pay me? Why not? Why don't I? Because as soon as I lent it to you, there was already what's called Das HaMeschayiv. You already obligated yourself to pay me back as soon as I lent you the money. That was the deal. I'm lending you the money on condition that you give it back to me. So wherever the chiyuv emerges from a das hamischayev, such as in the case of classical hava'ah, you do not need a Beis Din of smuchin to handle that particular case. All you need is a Beis Din. The Gemara will see later whether or not you would require even one dayan will be enough, or would you need three dayanim, but you don't need smuchin. So that's what Rashi's telling us, that wherever the halacha, wherever the nature of the payment emerges based on the Beis Din, I don't need the Beis Din to issue the psak. The obligation to pay is generated by Das HaMeschayiv. Under those circumstances, you don't need smuchen. And I'll give you the litmus test of the halacha to prove it. Many of, I'm sure everybody heard the halacha of Kam Leib D'Rabba Minei. That whenever you are obligated, when you are assigned punishment by Beis Din, you are obligated to pay for only one consequence and not two. The classic example. I take an arrow, I shoot it at somebody with the intention to kill. Along the way, a little old lady is hanging up her laundry outside, and it rips one of her sheets as it's going through, and it kills the person. The halakha is I don't have to pay for the sheets. Why? Mishum risha achas ata mechayvo, ve'i ata mechayvo mishum shtei rishoyos. Fine. Comes along the Meiri and he says the following. What happens if I buy something from you, okay, and the nature of the kinyan was done through chilul Shabbos? The nature of the kinyan was done through chilul Shabbos. So how did I do this? You were standing in a Rishus HaYachid. I was standing in Rishus HaRabin. And I made Hagbah. It can only be kind of this through Hagbah. So I was Magbiya this, and I took it out of Rishus HaRabin. I'm chayav. Two witnesses saw me. Said, don't do that. You're going to be chayav Nisa. Says to me, I have to pay you. Even though I'm going to be executed in Bezdin. Why? Because the tashlumin, the punishment, is not coming as a result of what's called rishut hagavra. It's not because I'm a bad guy that I have to pay you for the tape recorder. It's not a bad guy. It's not risha. Why do I have to pay you for the tape recorder? Because I agreed to purchase it. So that's a different type of obligation, and those types of obligations which emerge from what the halacha calls in general, das hamischayev, do not require smuchin, and that's what Rashi is making the distinction, avolava velo shilein lo mikre gazlan. That's a principle you're going to come across 60,000 times in Sanhedrin. Yeah.
Wouldn't you say that for classic Zayla, there's an independent responsibility to return the item without Bezdin explanation of Zayla?
But don't forget, yes, but in the case which the Mishnah gives of Kaifer Bivikad, you pay Kaifel. That's the case of Kaifer. Kaifel. So the Kaifel is, and the Gemara is going to say that the Mishnah is going to mention Tashlumi Kaifel in a second.
So it's a requirement for Sultan associated with the Kaifel portion? Let's say if it was a case of Zayla, it would require Kaifel.
Okay, but that's just it. Even the Tashlumen of the Zayla, even the Karen, you need a pasuk to say, Vaheshev is of Zayla. I don't do it. Do you need a pasuk to say that if I lend you money, you should pay me back? No. That's the difference. You need a pasuk to say, if I smash your car, I have to pay you. If not for the pasuk, I would be pasuk to pay. But even though it seems to be pretty logical.
Isn't the point that you're not gozel because the Malva, when he gave it away, he gave up his ownership. Now that's Rashi's point. The Milvanite son didn't know. It's not so much that the lover agrees that he's going to pay back.
No. Rashi's saying that what Rashi's emphasis is something else. There's no maisik zela on the item itself because you have a right to spend the money. The loiver has a right to spend it. So there's no maisik zela on the item itself. That's Rashi. It touches upon another halacha. I'm going to invite Nezek, the chatzi nezek, damages, niske mamon, or chatzi nezek for a tam. We learned Baba Kama, so Tom only pays Chatzi Nezek. Tashlumi Kefel, Tashlumi Avar B'Chamisha, we had in yesterday's Parsha, all the Baba Kama flashed in front of our minds yesterday, and Pasa Baba Mesia. Tashlumi Kefel, Chamisha, Bishloisha, also three Dayan. Ha'ones V'Hamefate, V'Hamaitzi Shemra, Bishloisha, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Ones, somebody rapes. So the halacha is, you have to pay chamishim, meyach kesef, mifate, you have to, seduction, you have to pay chamishim kesef to the father, v'hamoytzi shemra, somebody who gets married, next morning comes to Bezdin and claims, my wife is not a virgin. So these seem to be monetary cases, as a result, the halacha is b'shloisha. The chachamim aimrim, moytzi shemra be'esru m'shloisha, b'pnei sheyesh bo din nefashos. Motzi Shemra must be handled with 23 because it has the possibility of leading to Dini Nefasha. Why? Because when this guy claims his wife is not a virgin, there could be several things that's running through his mind. It's, number one, he could be looking to reduce the ksuba, which is purely a monetary case. So because the ksuba of someone who had relations is only a mayor, and he already agreed to Masayim. So he's not looking to end the marriage. He's not looking to get her killed. He's looking to do one thing, save him $100. That's the way he's getting off the marriage on a really good foot, you know? I want to save $100. So he wants to change dates of suit. But how did she become a ba'ula? When did she lose her virginity? So if it happened before she got engaged, that's the only consequence. So that will be bishloisha. But if she lost her virginity as a result of the fact that after Kedushin, she had a relationship with somebody else, because don't forget at the time of the Mishnah, Kedushin and the Suin were separated 6 months to a year apart. So that's Gili Arayis. If it's Gili Arayis, she's to be put to death. So since there is a possibility, say the Chachamim, that a case of Maisi Shemra will wind up as a Dini Nefashos case, you might as well start the whole case with 23, and the Gemara later will explain why. Because if you start it off with 23, and then you wind up only with what? A Ksuba issue, then you go down to 3, it's not nice to the Dayanim. It's Eino Lefi Kvodon Shel Dayanim. Oh, we're going to dismiss 20 of you. Doesn't looks like they were disqualified because they're incompetent. So therefore, start the whole case with 23. Makos B'Shloisha Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Omru B'Esra M'Shloisha. To administer lashes, to make a decision about makos, you need 3. And according to Rabbi Shmuel, you need 23. And the reason why you need 23 is based on the fact that the Gemara says later, Malkos Bimkom Misa Omedes, which according to the Balei HaMusar and many even Rishonim, it means that when you engage in this particular activity, you ate Nevela. So the Torah says, you ate Nevela, you get Malkos. What does that mean? In theory, you should be executed for eating Nevela. Should be getting executed. Why? Because you failed to listen up to the clause of your lease. Right? You have a lease on this world. The lease is for X number of years, and you have a lease, and the lease has 613 clauses. So in effect, as soon as you violate one of the clauses, there should be an eviction notice. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all merciful, Balei Rachamim, and he knows that he can't exact that type of a standard. So he tells us, you know what? Give lashes, and that should be instead of what? Of Misa. That's what the Gemara means. Malkus bimkom Misa omedes. The halacha of the Hitzilu Ha'eda applies to Malkus. The Hitzilu Ha'eda. The Gemara will tell us many halachot in relationship to a case handling Dine Mamonos, where you have an obligation to bend over backwards to save the defendant. That same halacha applies to Dine Malkus. Why? Because Makos bin Komisa Omedes, and therefore Rabbi Shmuel says that you should administer it, the case should be handled in front of 23. In fact, the Gaonim, Shitas HaGaonim, the Rambam disagrees, is that Bezdin is not permitted to give Malkus Bizman Azeh, as long as there's no Beis HaMikdash. Because we read yesterday, in yesterday's Pasuk, Me'im Mizbechi Tikochenu Lamus, in order to put somebody to death. Not only Sanhedrin is not enough, smuchet. The Mizbeach has to be there. Because it says, Me'im Mizbechi Tikochenu Lamus. If there is no Mizbeach, there is no Dine Nefashos. So the Ga'inim say, there is no Dine Makos Bizman Azeh. Once again, because Makos Bimkom Misa Omedes. The Rambam happens to disagree and says that you are permitted to administer Makos today in the presence of Gimel Smuchin. Ibur HaChodesh B'Shlosha. Ibur HaShana B'Shlosha Divrei Rabbi Meir. This phrase in the Mishnah is incredibly difficult. What it means is the decision whether or not a particular month is going to have 30 days or 29 days is determined by a Besdin of Shloisha. What does it mean? That if the witnesses come today to Besdin and said, we saw the new moon last night, so today would be Rosh Chodesh Adar, and yesterday and tomorrow is not going to be Rosh Chodesh Adar. If, however, the witnesses did not show up this morning, so then Besdin will, in effect, today will be the last day of Shvat, 30th day of Shvat, and tomorrow automatically will become Rosh Chodesh Adar. There's going to be a machloikas later on, whether or not tomorrow, in that case, would you need Bezdin to be Mekadesh Rosh Chodesh Adar, or do we say, the Gemara's expression is, Shikvar Kitshuhu Shomayim. HaKadosh Baruch already told us that tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh Adar. Fine. However, why is this here in the Mishnah of B'Shloisha? Everybody knows that the halach of Kiddush HaChodesh was assigned to whom in Parshas Bo? What? Sanhedrin HaGadol. HaPasuk says in Parshas Bo, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. Who's HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking to? Moshe and Aaron. Moshe and Aaron, one is the Nazi, one is the Av Beis Din, and therefore the halacha says that Kiddush HaChodesh and the entire Ibur HaShana process is given over to a Sanhedrin of 71. And the Rambam writes down in Hilchos Kiddush HaKodesh as well. So why does the Mishnah put it down here in 3? So here, in 20 seconds, I share with you the first yahrzeit shear that the Rav ever gave for his father, when his father passed away in 1941. This is his first yahrzeit shear. It was printed in Hapardes, in that halachic journal Hapardes. And when I was in high school, so my Rosh Yeshiva in Kamenitz also decided he was going to have a yahrzeit shear, and he gets the whole yeshiva together, and he starts saying the whole shear word for word, and he comes with all the great kashas that the Rav asked, and then he comes to the answer and he says, somebody said, without giving credit to the Rav. I had already seen the article, the father showed it to me, I went over to him, you know, ich weiß wer der Amateur is, should have said that, it's not salvation, you know, oh yeah, Amateur Kijak. So the Rav posited the following premise. There are certain activities which the Mishnah is going to list under the responsibilities of a Beis Din of Ayin Aleph. For example, to declare a Milchemes Mitzvah, to draft for a Milchemes Rishus, has to be declared by a Beis Din of Ayin Aleph. Those types of activities are part of the judicial profile of a Beis Din of Ayin Aleph. Kiddush HaKodesh is a different halacha. The mitzvah of Kiddush HaKodesh was in effect given to Klal Yisrael. HaKodesh HaSeh Lochem Rosh Chodashim, given to Klal Yisrael. The Beis Din focuses, the function of the Beis Din is to serve as the representative agency of Knesset Yisrael. So it's not that you need the Beis Din of 71 based on the fact that it is going to, in effect, handle that case, which can't be handled in another level case. It's assigned to that particular level Beis Din because the Beis Din of Ayin Aleph represents all of Klal Yisrael. So instead of knocking on everybody's door, you think we should be Mekadosh Chodesh today? You think today should be Rosh Chodesh? Beis Din represents us. In fact, Bizman Hazeh, there is a fundamental machloikah between the Rambam and the Ramban, what happens today in the absence of a Beis Din. The Ramban says, the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the last Beis Din of Smuchin, was Mekadesh every single Chodesh from now until the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. He calculated every single, and he was that Beis Din was Mekadesh each month. And the Rambam says, no. Kiddush HaChodesh ended Alti Re'iyah, and then the Rambam writes that Bizman Hazeh, it's a halacha l'mayshim Sinai. You're supposed to go ahead and be mekadesh al pi cheshbon, the calculation that has been instituted. Halacha l'mayshim Sinai. But then the Rambam says that we don't observe Rosh Chodesh based on what we're doing in Tinek or in Muncie or in Borough Park. We rely al cheshbon Eretz Yisrael. Whatever is done in Eretz Yisrael, what happens today? Today, in the absence of the Sanhedrin, Klal Yisrael itself has the mitzvah of being Mekadesh Chodesh. Instead of having the representative agency, Klal Yisrael does it. How does Klal Yisrael Mekadesh Chodesh? By observing today as Rosh Chodesh, by saying Hallel, by adding Yalav Yavot to Shemon Esrei. In fact, if you look in the Siddur Otzer HaTfilos, that's what it says, that's what Birchas HaChodesh is. When we're Mekadesh Chodesh, and we say Rosh Chodesh, all shul say, you hold the Sefer Torah, symbolizing all of Klal Yisrael, holding, that's what it's done for, to be Mekadesh the Chodesh. So you don't need Beis Din in its capacity as a judicial forum. All you need is three representatives of Beis Din, or Beis Din of Ayin Aleph gives permission to this Beis Din of three people. We authorize you, we, the representative agents of Am Yisrael, authorize you three Dayanim to be Mekadesh HaChodesh, and therefore it's okay. So even though it seems that the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh is assigned to the Beis Din of Ayin Aleph, its implementation can be done by a Beis Din of Shlosha, because it's not that you need the judicial capacity of the Beis Din of Ayin Aleph, it's just that the Beis Din represents all of Klal Yisrael, and therefore it's in their hands, they can assign it to anybody else. It's a very long article, you can go check it out. It's in also in Shurim La'Ava Murray. Rab Shimon ben Gamliel Oimer, B'shlosha maschilin, that the initial decision whether to be ma'aber the chodesh or ma'aber the shana is done with three. The chamisha nosim, the dialogue is done with five dayanim. The gomrin, b'shiva. And the decision is done with three. The Gemara later on will say, what's this business about a dayan? The dozen of five, dozen of seven, what's the purpose of it? The ingam will begin with mu'ubaris. But if you went ahead and decided on a bezdin of shlosha in a bezdin of gimel, that works both for Ibar HaChodesh and Ibar HaShana. The Gemara later will tell us what the factors are for Ibar HaShana, why did they decide to have leap years, and there are many, many factors which are taken into consideration whether bezdin shall make a leap year or not. Says the Mishnah, Smichas Zakenim requires three. Smicha zakenim, machlokes rishonim, what it means. Simple pshat according to Rashi is, it's talking about the par helen dover shel tzibur. Bezin made up psak halacha, which said, you're allowed to do such and such an activity. That particular activity is under penalty of kares. So here, Am Yisrael did it b'shogeg. But when you do something b'shogeg, you're supposed to be in karm chatas. But, you don't have to have everybody bring a korban chatas. Since their mistake was done based on a decision issued by Bezdin, so it's a pasuk in the end of Parshas Vayikra, you bring a par helim dover shel tzibur, and they make smicha v'samchu yideihen, and that process has to be done in the presence of a Bezdin of Shlosha. Or, alternatively, smicha zakenim is to award smicha. When you want to grant the next member a smicha, that process, the ordination process, has to take place in the presence of three dayanim. The arifas egla bishlosha, divi Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Hudaim v'chamisha. Arifas egla. So the Torah says at the end of Parsha Shoftim, if you have somebody who's been murdered, the murderer has not been apprehended, so you go through this very unusual ceremony of taking a calf and beheading it. The express purpose, as the Rambam writes in Mari Nevuchim, as echoed by the Ramban in Chumash as well, is to alert the community that there is a murderer at hand, and the entire community should now get together to apprehend the murderer. That's why you do this rather bizarre process of taking this egla, bringing down to the nachal, and saying, Yodeinu lo shafku es hadam hazeh. We're innocent, but the murderer is running around someplace, we have to look to apprehend him. So the arifas or egla takes place bishlosha, according to Rabbi Yehuda the Chamisha. Chalitza, v'hami'unin bishlosha. Chalitza. So here is a machlokes to Rambam and the Mukhi Yosef. There are, everybody knows that if somebody is married, does not have any children, the Torah suggests at the end of Parshas Kisetze that you have Yibul. You marry your brother-in-law. If the brother-in-law is not terribly interested in the kind of mitzvah of Yibum, you have to have Chalitza. Very strange process. Must take place in front of three people. She takes off his shoe. He takes off her shoe. The chalitza is not. She takes off his shoe, and she spits in front of him and says, "Kochaye aselo ish ashelo yuvne beit achiv." So this has to be done in front of three people. What happens if chalitza b'fnei shnai? He gets chalitza in front of two people or not. So the Gemara tells us there is something called chalitza psula. Chalitza psula means that the chalitza is effective halfway. She is still not allowed to marry anybody else. Not allowed to marry anyone else. But she can't marry the miyabe milo any longer either. That's chalitza psula. Then, if you do something else, it's called eina chalitza, it's nothing. As if nothing happened. So the Nemuki Yosef says, chalitza bifnei shnayim is chalitza psula. Chalitza bifnei echad is eina chalitza. So she's allowed to remarry him. The Rambam says, no, anything below three is considered chalitza psula, both if it's chalitza bifnei echad or chalitza bifnei shnayim. And the reason why, according to the Mukhi Yosef, that if you were cholates with less than two, it's nothing, it's ain't a chalitza, is because chalitza can't be any different than any other davar shebe'erva. Davar shebe'erva, there is a rule, ain't davar shebe'erva pachas mishnayim. To effect anything that handles the marital status, marriage, divorce, separation, anything, has to be done in front of two people. So, therefore, if at least it was chaltza bifnei shnayim, so under those circumstances, that would affect it to have some, accomplish something, but if it's chaltza bifnei echad, it's worthless. Worthless. And the Rambam believes that chalitza is a different type of an animal. The chalitza does not require Eidus Lekiyum Agavar. Doesn't require, if not for the fact that the halacha tells us that you have to have bezdin, because it says Ziknei Iro, that's why you have to have chalitza b'fnei bezdin, if not for that, you'd be able to do chalitza just b'no l'bein atzmo. Why? Because who created the zika? Who created the bond between this woman and the brother-in-law? It was not das, it was not something of mutual consent, which you need Adim to sustain, to verify. The Torah assigned that. So if the Torah imposed the obligation to have that bond, the Torah can already create the heter to dissolve that relationship, and therefore the Rambam holds, ekronit fundamentally, chalitza would not have required even two people, because it would not fall under the category of davar shebe'erva, but it does require three, because the pasuk uses the expression that you should go to the place el ziknei ha'ir, and that is always defined as bezdin. V'ha mi'unin b'shlosha. Mi'un is if a mita oraisa, a father has a right to marry off his daughter until she is a bogeres, until she's 12 and a half. Mother or brother do not have a right to marry her off. However, midrabanan, a mother or brother or older brother do have a right to marry her off. But when she becomes a bat mitzvah girl, she can say, ich will nicht, I don't like it. And she just walks out, doesn't need a get, absolutely nothing. So the process of miun, to declare, I don't want the husband that has been arranged for me by my mother or my brother, must be done in the front of three people. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi decides to add something which is somewhat a little difficult. Look at the Rashi miunin. Yisoma kitana, shehisiyo ima v'achia l'da'ata, yotza v'lo get, v'miun, Kozman shelo gadla tachtav. As long as she did not reach gadlus under his domain, meaning after she reaches 12 in a day, 2 days later, you know what? I don't like her. That's not because at the time of gadlus, the marriage converts into a kedushin mid the oraisa. Ubishlosha beinan. Why do you need bezdin for this case? What do you need bezdin for? Answers Rashi, the whole the tikkun rabbanan came the oraisa tikkun, because the halacha is that whenever the rabbanan establish a practice, it's always to be emulating what a din da oraisa. Dimid oraisa afilu miun lo bai dein kedusha ktana klum elim kein kichavia. Mid oraisa you don't need anything. Now told the rabbanan came the oraisa tikkun. What the rice is Rashi referring to that you need a bezdin? Where in a marriage situation or divorce situation do you ever need bezdin? So that now Rashi would be saying, "Kol derabanan ke'ein doraisa tikkun," and now you need bezdin of shloisha. Why? Where do we ever find that you need bezdin? So, there's a famous machloikas achroinim. 99% of all Achrayim believes regular divorce never needs a bezdin. Does not need a bezdin, ever. But you should be aware once in your life to know, famous Noida Bihuda. Noida Bihuda believed that every single divorce is a Maisa bezdin. Every single divorce is a Maisa bezdin. Therefore, the Noida Bihuda bezdin, there are no Gittin Balayla. Because bezdin doesn't work at night. We're machmir on that today. Machmir on that. Even though it's... Right. But, however, there is one type of bez, one type of get, which undoubtedly has to be done in front of bez, and that's called get me'use. Get me'use. What is get me'use? A woman who, or a husband who is coerced to divorce his wife. There are times when we coerce. For example, the wife wants to make aliyah. So the Mishnah Ksubas at the end of Ksubas says, wife wants to make aliyah, husband has to go with her. He doesn't want you divorced. So in order to, the guy says, I don't want to divorce you. So you force him. Where must it take place? In Bezdin. So Miyun is like a get me'useh. Because the husband is leaving against his will. He wants to remain married to this very beautiful young girl. But she doesn't want. So she terminates the marriage against her will. So that's the what Rashi has in mind, called the Rabbanan Ke'en Dol Raisa. By a get me'useh, it must be done in the presence of Beis Din. So too, Miyun must be done in the presence of Beis Din. Neta Ravai U'masa Sheni She'en Dom of Yiduin Mishloisha. The halach is that if you have Masa Sheni and you're in any place out of Yerushalayim, you want to bring it to Yerushalayim, you don't want to schlep it to Yerushalayim, you redeem it. Same thing, Neta Ravai. Produce of the fourth year. First 3 years, it's Arla, Asabana. Fourth year, you bring it to Yerushalayim and you eat it. If it's too much, you redeem it. So normally you don't need Beis Din to redeem something. You operate based on what's called the Sha'ar Yadua, the normal rate. You go to the market, you go to the shuk, and you see what a pound of grain, what a pound of peaches are selling for. Here the case is that they already rotted. Since they rotted already, they don't have a Sha'ar Yadua, a fixed market price, and therefore you need Beis Din to make the assessment, how much was it worth? And as a result, under those circumstances, you will now redeem the Masa Sheni and the Nether Ravai based on the decision of Beis Din. Ha-Hegdeshos v'shlosha. To redeem Hegdesh. Let's assume I go ahead and I donate this siddur to the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash needs a durim. So what do? They ask you to redeem it. And then they put the money to good use. The Beis HaMikdash needs a paint job, so they'll use the money for a paint job. They got to fix something, they'll use it. Who determines how much the siddur is worth? You need three. And here the Mishnah doesn't only say, she ain't dumb of you do it. You don't know the rate. Because by Hegdish, you always need Beis Din. Why? Because Masa Sheni belongs to you. Netzer Ravai belongs to you. Hegdish belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. We want to make sure that what? Hegdish is not gypped, and therefore you need a Beis Din always to establish the value. Ho'erchin ha-mitaltulin b'shlosha. The Torah says at the end of Parshas Bechukosai that there are certain type of vows where you donate value, my value, and so on and so forth. So that can be handled b'shlosha. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Echad Mehem Kohen. The Hakarkaos, if you decide to have the Erchen, you want to take the value of this piece of property and donate to the Mikdash, Tisha B'Kohen. The Adam Kayotzeveh. So too, if you want to donate my value, my wife's value, my child's value to the Beis HaMikdash, it requires 10, and one of them has to be a Kohen. Dini Nefashos Esru Mishlosha. This is the second category of Batei Din, where all capital cases must be handled in the presence of a Beis Din of 23. Haroveya, Bahanirva, that's in bestiality, is handled with Beis Din of 23. Shenemar, the harakta esoish, the etabehema. The omer, next passage says, the etabehema tarogu. So we make a comparison. Just as the execution of the wife is what? Is with 23, so too is the execution of the animal with 23 as well. Sharaniskal, the esumishlosha. If an ox gores and kills a human being, so you're supposed to kill the ox. That decision has to be handled in the presence of 23. Shine'amar, hasho yisakel, v'dam ba'ol of yumas. K'misas ba'alim, kach misas hashar. It's the passage we read yesterday. V'dam ba'ol of yumas. That in theory, if your animal is responsible for the death of another human being, in theory, you should be dying as well. And there's a machloikas between the Ramban, famous machloikas, Ramban, Ibn Ezra, as to what happens. The Torah says, in kofar you shasa love. If you'll pay kofar, then you don't die. So the question is, what's happening in this situation of Kofar? Is it that the Torah is saying, I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, said that in theory, the owner of the animal should die when it was responsible for the animal killing a human being? In theory, the owner should die. But I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now said, no more Misa, there's no more Misa B'dei Shemayim, all you do is pay Kofar. Now what happens if you don't pay Kofar? That's it. You don't pay Kofar, you don't pay Kofar. So you fail to be the kind of mitzvah of Kofar. That's the way the Ramban learns. Ibn Ezra says no. The Dambal of Yubas is always in effect. The man is supposed to die. It means Misa B'dei Shemayim. It doesn't mean executed by B'dei Ava. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you pay the what? The Kofar, then I won't execute you. But if you what? If you fail to pay the Kofar, then you're going to get executed. And that's what the Torah says, the Gambal of Yumas. So since the payment of Kofar, since the this particular case can lead to what? To some decision of Misa, therefore it requires 23. Even the stoning of the ox itself. If you remember this from the Mishnah in Bava Kamma, these are considered mazikin, and therefore they have to be put to death. You don't have to wait to Bezdin. If you see a wolf or a lion, just kill it before it has a chance to kill anybody. You don't even have to bring it to Bezdin. Rabbi Kiva Eimer, Misasim, Betzim, Shloisha, know that if they are responsible for killing somebody, then you go ahead and bring them. It's not Allah and Shor. It's any animal that is responsible for the death of a human being. You have to bring them to Bezdin, and the animal is put to death.
Doesn't it seem like it's like a desire that they submit for their faith in that they could be judging a snake or whether it's
going to be killed or not? It sounds like, but that's why if you accept Ibn Ezra's interpretation, it's part and parcel of, it should have been, but all of you must.
Yeah.
Right? So therefore they will also admit it at the same time. They also, okay, pay Kofar. So it has some redeeming quality, but I hear your point. And Ezra's going to bring a little snake and go, hey, you're Chai Misa, you bit somebody, it sounds a little ludicrous. You're right. But you're going to have to weigh them, come to Bezdin and say, yeah, this snake, you know. I imagine there would be some good lawyers to represent the snake, you know. Yeah. Now the Mishnah moves to categories of Dayanim where you need 71. Ein Danin, Lo Es HaShevet, Velo Navi Shevet. Danin Es HaShevet is a Shevet that majority worshipped Avodah Zarah, so they're supposed to be killed. Navi Sheker, Velo Es Kayin Gadol, El Al Pi Bez Mishah Shivim Ve'Echad. These are national cases that have national implications and therefore should be handled by the Sanhedrin Gadol. Ein Motzian, Lo Melchemes HaRashus, El Al Pi Bez Mishah Shivim Ve'Echad. Most interpret this phrase that Bezdin has no right to establish, to call for a Milchemes or Rishus unless there's an agreement of 71. The halacha is Milchemes Mitzvah, which according to the Rambam is defined as one of three cases. Either conquest of Eretz Yisrael, two, Milchemes Amalek, three, the protection of any Jew, any place in this world, and Tevi was a Milchemes Mitzvah according to the Rambam Midol Raisa. You don't need Bezdin. The Torah says it's Milchemes Mitzvah. So the Melech just goes ahead and says, let's go. However, a Milchemes Rishus is to expand his tax base or to just conquer territory for whatever reason he wants. That you need Bezdin, and if there is an Urim V'Tumim, you have to ask the Urim V'Tumim as well. So most learn that that in order to declare a Milchemes Rishus, you need Bezdin of Ayin Aleph. The Rav did not believe that that was the right shot. He says, because the Mishnah says, Motzi'in, namely. The Melech can declare a Milchemes Rishus without anybody. He doesn't need anybody's permission. But a draft, Motzi'in. If he wants to draft an army, That's when he needs 71. But if he's got his regular standing army, which he pays, and he doesn't have to draft people, he can wage war for Melchemes Rishus without even the permission of Beis Din. V'ein mosifin al ho'ir v'al ha'zarot el al pi Beis Din shel shivim ve'echad. This is a very important halacha. We're going to need this halacha very, very soon. The halacha is that in order to expand a particular area, you have to do it in the presence of Beis Din Shel Shivim Ve'Echad. So let's assume we're on the Har HaBayis, right? The Azara is a very small little area on that Har HaBayis. So one day we're going to have thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people flocking. You want to expand the Azara. So what do? You bring members of the Sanhedrin to the, they're up there anyhow, because the Beis Din HaGadol sits in the Beis HaMikdash. And you eat in the Azara something which has to be eaten only in the Azara. For example, kachin. So a kayin will bring a korban mincha, someone will bring a korban mincha, and that mincha has to be eaten only in this place, because korban mincha, kachin, can only be eaten in Azara. So if you now eat this korban mincha in the presence of the members of Sanhedrin HaGadol, this area will now be extended to be part of the Azara. Same thing with Yerushalayim. You want Yerushalayim to extend to Ramot, quite a bit away from the walled city. So what will you do? You'll bring members of the Sanhedrin HaGadol to Ramot, to Rehov Yafo, and they will eat Kachim Kalim, because you're allowed to eat Kachim Kalim in all of Yerushalayim. So in the presence of the Sanhedrin, you will now eat Kachim Kalim in the presence of the Sanhedrin, and now Ramot Vav will now be endowed with Kedushas Yerushalayim, and from here on in, it's now included as Yerushalayim to eat Korban Pesach, to eat Matzah Sheni, and so on and so forth. Notice the Mishnah says, "A mosifin alo yevalos elapi vezin shivim ve'echad." So the Rav felt that this lashon indicates, it doesn't say in the kachin, because it's no longer necessary to be Mekadesh, Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. Why? This is a raya for Shitas HaRambam, that what? That Kitcha Shnia was Kitcha L'Shaita, V'Kitcha L'Asid Lavo, and therefore the only discussion is to add, but not to sanctify initially, as opposed to Shitas HaRavid, who says that the Beis HaMikdash itself was absolutely butter. Ein osin sanhedrios l'shvatim el al pi Beis Din Shel Shivim Ve'Echad. At the time when each shevet was sitting in its nachala in Eretz Yisrael, each shevet had its own Beis Din of Chaf Gimel. So the establishment of that Beis Din of Chaf Gimel had to be done with the approval of Beis Din HaGadol. Ein osin irani dachas el al pi Beis Din Shel Shivim Ve'Echad. The decision to make an Irani Dachas is only with Beis Din Shel Shivim Ve'Echad. Shivim Ve'Echad. Ein osin Irani Dachas b'svar v'lo shalosh. You're never permitted to make an Irani Dachas on a border city and not three in one area. Because when the neighboring enemies see three cities being destroyed, and Irani Dachas is destroyed, that's a signal to attack. Oh, something's going on here. And that's why you don't do it if it's a border city. It's a signal to the enemy. You do not implement the laws of Irani Dachas, but you can make one or two. Sanhedrin G'day L'Haysa Shal Shivim Ve'Echad U'Ketana Shal Esam Mishloisha Menayim L'G'day L'Shal Shivim Ve'Echad Shinema Esli Shivim Mish Mizikni Yisrael U'Moshe Al Gabayim. Moshe was on top. This is the Pasha's Bala Yischa. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer Shivim. Rabbi Yehuda says that Sanhedrin HaGadol was 70 and Moshe didn't count. Why? Rabbi Yehuda's story is because how can Moshe Rabbeinu ever count? If he was part of the Sanhedrin, nobody would be able to vote against him. How can you vote against Moshe Rabbeinu? He heard it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that would have influenced the entire Sanhedrin, and it would not be a real, it would be a joke court. Because a Dayan has to exercise free will and make his decision the way he sees fit. So under those circumstances, he is not permitted, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Moshe Rabbeinu could not have been a member of Sanhedrin. Uminayin l'ktana shehi shalesim v'shloisha, shenemar v'shofta eda v'tzilu eda. Eda shofetes, eda is 10, the Eda Matzelas, Harekan Esrim. Umenai La Eda Shi Asara, Shinemar, Admasa La Eda Harah Hazos. That's referring to the Meraglim. And the Meraglim, there were 10 bad ones. Yasu Yishal Vikalik. Menai Lahavi Oit Shloisha. How do I know that you're supposed to have 23? Mishinemar Lo Siya Acharei Rabim La'o. You're not supposed to follow the majority when they come to conviction. Inference, Shomeyani She'eyam Lutovah. You're supposed to follow a bezdin of majority when it comes for acquittal. In Cain, Lamana Acharei B'Mahatos, why does the Torah then say just follow the majority? Answer, Lo Kati Yascha L'Tova Hati Yascha L'Ra. The majority is not for acquittal, is not to be the same as acquittal for as a majority for conviction. Hati Yascha L'Tova, to acquit, all you need is a majority of one. Hati Yascha L'Ra, Al Pishnayim. But to convict, you need what? You need a bezdin of what? You need a majority of two. Well, the only way to get a majority of two in a conviction is if you have 13 to what? To 10. Because 12 to 11 is not going to be a majority of one. So, and 12 to 10 is a bezdin shokel. You ain't bezdin shokel. So therefore you have to have 23. It says v'itzilu eda, v'shaftu eda, that's 20. Eda, eda, 10 and 10. In order to have the possibility of conviction of more than two, you must wind up with 23. That's what it says, mosifin al-od echad, harekan esrim v'shlosha. V'kama yehe ba'ir utei ru'uyu sanhedrin, mea v'esrim, how many people in the city would be necessary to have a bezdin? 120. And the chenyayim, masayim, shloshim. You need 230 people to establish a bezdin in that community. Keneged sare asarot. Okay, I really apologize, but I have to leave now. Let's really apologize. Sorry. It's not okay.